Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now back in making his 10th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Bengals, Vikings, and Panthers defensive back. And oh, by the way, TNT Guest Hall of Famer, Leonard Wheeler. Let me remind you a little bit about Leonard's background. He was born in Toccoa, Georgia, which is about 90 miles northeast of Atlanta. Played his college ball at Troy University. Was a third-round draft pick by the Cincinnati Bengals in 1992, and he played in the NFL from 92 to 99. He is now co-executive director for the NFL and is transition coach, helping current and former players with resources and support as they transition into and out of the league. He is a performance coach with NASCAR. He is, for the last 18 months, his company, Trilucent Global, has been doing executive coaching, speaking engagements, working with Fortune 100 and 500 companies. Leonard was literally, and Bob and I talked about this at the top of the show, guest number 14 on this show, all the way back in December of 2011. He's always so much fun. He's a wonderful friend, been a wonderful supporter of the show, and we can't thank him enough for his contributions over the years, and we're excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Leonard, Chris, and Bob, how are you, my friend?
Leonard.
What's up, Chris and Bob? How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic. Better now that you're on the show, Leonard.
10 times? Man, you guys must have a lot of empathy. Let me tell you. That is impressive.
Not at all.
And 2011.
It is impressive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how many years have passed. And I don't even have any gray hair.
That's why I say, Leonard, I mean, you were a guest, you know, you go all the way back to December of 2011. Guest number 14 on a show that you never heard of with a couple of guys you never heard of. So it's absolutely spectacular.
And, man, you guys have been amazing advocates for legends. And, man, we are so grateful for the message that you guys continue to promote. I mean, you really dive into the causes that these guys are creating, man. So just thank you so much for being so faithful. And we so appreciate both of you.
So to that end, Leonard, and that's exactly where I wanted to start, because you're doing some great stuff with the legends community. You have been for several years. You know, remind our listeners about all the great things going on that the former players are doing out there in the community.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, one of the reasons that we created the Legends Community 6 years ago is that we wanted to celebrate, embrace, and connect the guys back to their communities, back to the game that really they created, and back to the NFL to where it's their home. And, you know, so many times we are celebrated coming into the game, but man, we are not celebrated when we leave the game. So what we wanted to do was to create the Legends Community, which we continue to create alliances with people like the Trust, the PA. We're not trying to compete with anyone. We want to be that, those boots on the ground that continues to parlay the message and reach into the rabbit holes where some of us are hiding. Pull them out and let them know that you are legends and you are celebrated and you are embraced and we love you. And that's really, it comes from a heart of service.
And Leonard, to that end, right, and we've talked about this with you over the years, and you've written a great book about it. But on the way out, it's tough. Right? I mean, it's suddenly you go from a guy that everybody you know, wants an autograph and wants to be around, and the phone rings and you're invited to parties and you're invited to, you know, whether it's sponsorships and all that sort of stuff. You're really lauded, like you mentioned. And then when it's over, boy, it can be a hard, dead stop. Talk about that.
Yeah, it is really a hard stop because most of us don't expect it to end when it ends. And it creates this uncertainty, which, you know, men, naturally, we don't like uncertainty anyway. And so the emotional part, the emotional stability, understanding that, wow, you know, I have an education, but, you know, I tell people in corporations all the time that everyone wants to be applauded. And when the applause ends and the fans end and, you know, let's be honest here, when the money ends, then you have to figure out now how do I continue to live the lifestyle that I've created for myself and for my family. All of those things become important when it comes to your transition, because it's emotional. And it's emotional because it's not just you. When you make it to the NFL, a lot of times you make it for your mom, for your sister, for your brother, for your wife, for your daughter, for your son, for your girlfriend. You make it for more than just yourself. So that transition makes you feel as if you're letting people down. Not just yourself, but you're letting other people down as well.
Leonard, switching gears just a little bit, as I was, you know, continuing to do some research on you and the great things that you have done away from the game, I was surprised to see one thing. My kids love the show One Tree Hill, and we just recently watched the whole thing. And season two, that looks like Leonard Wheeler. Was that Leonard Wheeler?
That was me. I was wearing my goatee. Because I didn't know if the world was ready for me to cut it off yet. So I had on my goatee, but when I really transitioned from the game, I really wanted to get into acting. And for me to just check it off and say, this is something that I've always wanted to do. And so it really created an amazing opportunity for me to engage. I was in the movie, Radio with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Ed Harris. And those experiences, I'll continue to carry with me forever.
Bob, questions for Leonard?
Yeah, it's always an honor to speak with you, Leonard.
Come on,
it's
Bob. You sound quiet tonight. What's going on back there?
Yeah, you know, the weather up here in New England. It's a bummer. You know, the weather here is just, you know, it is what it is. You know, but, you know, it's again, anytime I hear your voice, I smile. So it's always an honor. But I always like to revisit the youths of our guests, and we probably have discussed this in the past, but growing up in Georgia, Leonard, talk to us about the different sports you played, and Chris and I love to ask our guests if the difference in the different sports and the different physical activities that you did as a kid, did that make you a better football player?
It made me a better football player, and it made me a better person, because what I learned to do is to understand that everybody's talents and gifts are different. I also understood what it was to cross train. You know, my entire life I played basketball, I ran track, and I played football. And in doing that, I really learned how to get along with people from so many different backgrounds and cultures. I grew up in the projects of Georgia. You know, I was in the projects most of my life as a young man. And growing up in the projects, you really start to understand poverty in so many different ways. But poverty is a mindset, right? Poverty is not just something that's physical. And so what I realized in that process was, I don't want to be back here in this place. And I need to make sure that I create an abundant mindset instead of a scarcity mindset. You know, because you can create this mindset from the environment that you're in. And so I had to retrain the brain in so many words. And those are some of the lessons that I learned when I was small, is that you better learn to be grateful for all things, not just the things that are great to you, but the things that continue to make you struggle in life as well.
I was looking at some of your old teammates, Leonard, and I always like to pick the brains of people like yourself, because no one knows these guys as well as you do. From what we read, we can read stats, we can read stories, but we like to get the up-close and personal dialogue. I was looking at a guy that, and I think you'll smile when I tell you his name, is a pro bowler that I think never got the credit he deserved in Cincinnati, and that was Carl Pickens. And Carl Pickens, to me, people don't realize, I don't think, that he led the league in touchdown passes one year, Leonard. He had 100 receptions one year when people weren't doing that. How was he as a teammate? And tell us more about his personality.
Yeah. So Carl and I were drafted together. 1992, and we came in, and I think they were they named us the Brat Pack, you know, the whole rookie class. And one thing that I loved about Carl, though, is that he was such a competitor. You know, he wanted to win. And even though we did not have really many, you know, winning seasons, when Jeff Blake took over, you know, it was tough, you know, when Boomer was there at the end of his career and then David Klinger came in. Those were really, really great athletes, man. I mean, we had more athletes than anybody in the NFL. We just could not find a way to win. And so Carl Pickens had that winning mentality that he would fight you. Like, he was a fighter. And coming out of Tennessee, you know, he was the same way when he was in college. And when he was drafted, man, let me tell you something. He took the NFL by storm. And then they put Darnay Scott beside him. They had Tim with them. I mean, Harold Green was there. And Bieniemy came. And we really had a plethora of great players and really some great offensive players and defensive players. We just could not win. And I think sometimes it goes back to the culture that's created at that moment to where, you know, we had to help each other understand what does it mean to win. And that was the one time we went 8-8.
And Leonard, take that a step further, right? I mean, to your point, you had all of that great talent there, but you couldn't win. Mm-hmm. Talk about the impact and what culture does. Because I think, you know, you look at what happened coming into this season. Everybody looked at all of the shiny new toys that the Cleveland Browns signed or traded for, drafted, mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. And here they are. They're still the Cleveland Browns. Talk about what culture and all of that does.
Well, and that is a hard reality a lot of times because you have high expectations of really doing well. I remember one year we drafted Kajana Carter. And, you know, we drafted Kajana Carter. He came, we're like, oh, man, it's getting ready to be on the first play from the line of scrimmage in a preseason game. He blew out his ACL. The first play in the preseason, he ran the ball and blew out his ACL. What happens is this. If you do not have a culture that could sustain a certain mindset, when you have a couple of injuries like the Browns are having, or when something happens, you have some hiccups, we have these things called triggers, right? It triggers your mindset to go, oh, no, not the same people, right? Because the culture, the foundation of it must change first. And then the mindset of the people, when they're implemented within a healthy culture and environment, it starts to adapt. And this is what we're seeing right now to where the Browns are losing. It doesn't mean they don't have great talent still. The talent is still there, but the culture is still the culture. You know, you have to switch the culture, the environment. You have to change some things around at the top as well.
So is that the difference between the New England Patriots and everybody else? It's that cultural piece, that mindset that's somehow instilled in every player. Doesn't matter where they came from, who they played for before, what position they played in the past. It's the something is drilled into them when you walk in, you know, Foxborough, that it's different here. Is that the difference between a Patriots and you know, I guess any other team?
Something is drilled. Let me tell you what's drilled. When you go to this place, there is a certain level of expectation that you must adapt to. If you do not have this thing that I call adaptability, you will not be successful in New England because the culture is what it is. It's a foundation that you can plug and play and you will win. But if you try to go against, if you try to rebuttal what is happening here, you will lose and you will not be on the team. And that's a culture that they know works. And when you know something works, you stay with it. It's no different than somebody coming into your household. You have a culture of people not putting their feet with dirty shoes on your couch. Well, when they come into your house, they will not do it. But if they do it, you're going to kick them out of your house. Right? And so that is how simple it is when it comes to teams winning and teams losing.
Leonard, I want to switch gears again on you and then start to get your thoughts on what's going on around the league right now, and want to do it right there in Carolina with the Panthers. It seems like an organization that is on, or a team that's on the come. You look at what they've done over the last several weeks, winning three in a row. The quarterback, young quarterback, looks good. Christian McCaffrey looks like a guy that nobody can corral. Talk about what you're seeing from your Carolina Panthers.
You know, I've been proud of them because, let me tell you, it's not easy to start out 0-2. And Kyle Allen, you know, being thrown in unexpectedly, he had to stay prepared. And what I tell the guys is that it only takes one play. You're one down away from being a starter all the time. And so when you're one down away from being a starter, that means you have to always be prepared to go in the game. And one thing that's happening in Charlotte right now is that there's a spark that's happening because Christian McCaffrey is amazing. This dude is like Luke Kuechly on the other side of the ball, you know. And so you have, you know, Short that just got hurt, which we hated to see him go down because he's really a great defensive player. There's a lot of excitement around winning. And, you know, how many people have you ever met that do not love to win, right? And so when you find a winning formula, you want to stay with the winning formula. You know, Cam, it doesn't change that Cam is a great athlete, but when you're playing injured and I don't know what, you know, his mentality, et cetera, if you bring in something new and it works, you have to stay or work with what works, brother.
Leonard, a couple more before we let you go. Our next guest is Rod Smith, a guy that I'm guessing you're pretty familiar with there up in Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Your relationship with Rod. Is that right?
I was just with Rod on Monday. Yep, I was just with Rod on Monday, and we talked about 1992 being the best defensive back draft in the history of the NFL. So Rod and I, we played in the Senior Bowl together coming out of college. And we played with the Panthers together. So that is my brother there. He's smart, from Notre Dame. I'm not going to blame him for that because he didn't have a choice. He's a great man. He's a great friend. He's a smart businessman. And man, I just appreciate my brother.
Leonard, remind our listeners about your book. It's titled Beyond the Locker Room, Developing Your Game Plan for Life's Transitions. It's 5-star rated on Amazon.com. Talk about getting your book, what's inside it, and then how they can follow you online and on social media.
So you can order my book off Amazon, Barnes & Noble, off of my website at LeonardWheeler.com. I just wrote a second book 4 months ago. It's called Desire, Discipline, and Determination. You can also get that book on Amazon as well. You know, being in this business for 18 years, you really start to formulate relationships. And let me tell you, one of the best relationships that I could have formed is a relationship with you guys, with what you do. And man, let me just say, I cannot brag on you enough and just want you to know that we celebrate you and we applaud you for everything that you're doing for us.
Well, Leonard, we can't say thank you enough for everything you've meant to both Bob and I individually and certainly to the show. And then, like I said at the top, the great stuff that you're doing, not only as a speaker and someone that's working with places like NASCAR, but the work that you guys are doing with the NFL Legends community is something, you know, like Bob and I, every week on the show, we do our Spotlight on the Positive segment because there are so many players like yourself out there doing great things in the community that doesn't get the spotlight, if you will, that it deserves.
Yes,
I think people don't realize we understand that we get the headlines of all the knucklehead things that players do, whether it's drugs or domestic abuse, and all that stuff gets headlined. The great stuff that you guys are doing for each other, for children's charities, for the homeless. Just goes unnoticed or not enough spotlight on it. And that's why we love ending our show every single week with our
.nfl.com, players.nfl.com. You can go there and register for the Legends community, and everything, your benefits, et cetera, are accessible to you guys. Thank you guys again so much for giving us a voice and giving us a platform. Thank you.
Absolutely, Leonard. Take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family.
Thank
we look forward to catching up with you again, hopefully real soon.
Be well.
All right,
man.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
See you, Leonard. That's the great Leonard Wheeler. Again, former Carolina Panthers. He also played for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Minnesota Vikings. He's a member of our TNT Guest Hall of Fame, a very special guy to both you and I, Bob. And every single time he's on the show, it's very meaningful, and he continues to do great things out there in the community. So a huge supporter of ours, and we couldn't be a more big a bigger supporter of his.
Yeah, we love his enthusiasm and his loyalty, Chris, and we're just honored to be friends with that man.
Yes, we are. All right, we've got Rod Smith hanging on the line. We're going to get to Rod on the other side of this real quick station break.